Okay, we are picking up from the Gemara on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, two lines from the top of the word of Meisive. We're in a machlokas between Abaye and Rava with regards to Yadayim She'enav Mechichoch. Remember, Yad is a partial neder, and Yadayim She'enav Mechichoch, so with regards to a neder, is that if you have a neder that's a partial declaration, which I wasn't 100% sure what the guy meant. It was not conclusive what the guy meant, and Abaye understood that everybody, all the Tanayim, would agree that it is valid neder, and Rava says that no, that it would not, that all the Tanayim would say that it is an invalid neder. So now the Gemara is bothered by the understanding of Abaye that all Tanaim would agree that a Yadayim She'enav Mechichoch, an inconclusive partial declaration, is something which is valid. Says the Gemara now, Meisei with a kashan Abaye based on the Braisa. Hare hu alai. If one says with regards to any object, a certain object, that it is there, it is hereby to me. Hare hu, this is hereby to me. Or hare ze alai, or this is hereby to me, usher. He's usher to derive benefit from that object. Why? Nay, shehu yad lekorban. Because in this statement, he has affected a partial declaration of a neder with regards to a korban, that we're assuming that this statement implies that it's like a korban and is a yad for a neder, and it's tof, and it's going to be valid neder. So the Gemara now is medayik in this braisa. Taima de amar alai. Because this implies that the person, the madir, said to me. And that is the reason that it's a yad. Hu de asr. Only in that case is going to be asr on the basis of a yad, because he says alai, which clearly showed us that it was like a korban to him, and it's going to be asr. Ava lo amar alai. But the Gemara's medayik, if he did not say to me, but if he just said, hare ze, in those cases, lo, he would not be usher to derive benefit from the object, because that would be lechora a yadayim she'ena mechichos. And this braisa seems to say that if you just say harehu areze, that would not be considered a yad, and that would be something which is inconclusive. And this is against Abaye, because again, we tiyuv to Abaye. This is a kasha against Abaye, because Abaye said before we wanted to suggest in Das Abaye that everybody agrees yadayim she'enav mechichos when it comes to nedarim is going to be invalid. Yet we seem to have a tana over here that holds yadayim she'enav mechichos is invalid. So what is Abaye going to do with this braisa? So the Gemara says, Amr l'cha, Abaye is going to respond, no, taima damar alayhu da asr. It's because when the person, the madir, is saying to me that he is asr, on the basis of this yad, because the lashon of alay, to me, makes the statement yad at all. As opposed to, we had three levels. We had what's called yadayim mochichos. Everybody agreed when it comes to yadayim mochichos, when it's clear what the intention, even if it's a partial neder, that works. Level of medaresa, everybody agrees that's a yad. We had the category where something was, which is completely meaningless, and it's not even a yad, everybody agrees that that would not be valid. And then we had this middle ground, which is machlokes Abaye v'Rava, which is yadayim she'enav mechichos. So Abaye is going to taina that who said we're in this middle category, which is a machlokes between me and Rava? That's not what we're talking about in this braisa. We're talking about the third category, which everybody agrees, even Rava is going to agree with me that it's invalid. Why? Because if you say he could completely understand that this is something which is not even a yad whatsoever, something which is completely inconclusive, because you could have understood that the guy is saying that this is something which is ownerless, this is something which is for tztaka, and therefore this statement is not considered a yad whatsoever, because it is something which is completely vague, and therefore not even on the level of a yad. Only when you say the lashon of alai does the statement tell us, as the Ran says, does the statement show us that this is a yad, because that's something which is going to make it yadayim she'enav mechichos, or at least mechichos, that this braisa is not dealing with the case of yadayim she'enav mechichos. It's talking about something which is not even a lashon of a neder whatsoever. The Gemara says, but v'habibnei shu yad l'korban ketani. The Braisa teaches us that the person who's making this neder, the madir, is usher because his statement is a yad of a neder with a reference to a korban. Since even the statement of hare zeh, or haray hu, in those cases, that's going to be alluding to a korban, a partial declaration, which is going to be a yad. So then, why don't we understand that Harei Zalai is a Yad for Neder, but teaching us that it's a Yad for Neder only with reference to a Korban? People who make a Korban usually say, Harei Zeh Korban, Harei Alai Korban, this is going to be considered a Yad. This statement of Harei Zeh, Shilch Ura, should be understood as a Yad for the Neder with regards to a Korban. Obviously then, the reason that the person says Alai is to make it Yadayim Sheh Mochichos, and therefore this would again would be a Kasha on Abaye. If you say Harei Zeh is a Yad for Neder referring to a Korban, but something which is going to be Not conclusive. Again, that would be something which is a kasha on Abaya, because since this brace says lechora, allowing you to say that that is an invalid yad, that would be lechora against a gabaya that all Tanaim agreed to this concept. So the Gemara says, Ella Ema, rather, we have to want to defend Abaya again. Taima de Amar Alai. It's because when the person, the Madir, says to me, Hu Aser v'chaveiro moter, only in that circumstance, he is going to be Aser to derive benefit from the object, but his friend are going to be permitted to it. Aval Amar, Harehu. However, if he just says that this is going to be, Shnei and Aser, and both of them, and him and other people are going to be also to derive benefit from this item. The Dilma Harehu Kehektesh Kamar, because maybe the guy is going to be saying that this is going to be Hektesh, if it's Hektesh, and it's also to him and the whole world because he made it Hektesh. So this is we need a little bit of background over here. The Mishnah on Yud Ches Beis is going to tell us that Stam Nedarim Lahachmir, that if a person makes a neder, we're not exactly sure how to interpret it, that we're going to assume that we go after the most machmir, the most stringent understanding of what the guy meant. Unless he tells us explicitly that he meant something else, that we assume lahachmir, that he's going to mean the most machmir situation. So in our case, how does that apply to our case? Since we have yadayim she'ina mechichos, which works according to Abaye, right? According to everybody, according to Abaye, right? All Tanaim would agree to that. So therefore, when a person says arezu, it's going to be considered a valid neder, but it's unclear whether the person, the madir, meant to say that harehu, that it's usher to him, like a korban, and therefore it's just going to be simple neder, or maybe it's like harehu, that it's going to be like hektish, in which case it's going to be hektish, and it's going to be something which is, we know hektish is usher to be nana from, you have to bring it and give the value to the base of mikdash until you're podet. So therefore, what the shaila is over here, according to Abaye, how are we understanding what this case is? So according to Abaye, we're going to assume that we go stam nedarim lahachmir. We have to assume that the guy meant that he wants to be maktish and it should be hektish, and therefore it's going to be usher to everybody, as opposed to when the madir says harezu alai, it's actually going to be something which is more mekil, because he clearly shows that he wants to make it as a neder, which only he is going to be usher from, and therefore only he is going to be usher and nobody else. Just to point out that according to Rava, according to the Shita, that Yadayim Shina Mechichos are not considered a Yad, and therefore not considered a Neder, we wouldn't say that Stan Medarim are going to be Machmer, since a Yad is not even considered a Neder whatsoever. We're not going to say, why don't we say Lahachmer, maybe this is what he meant? No, because a Yadayim Shina Mechichos is not in the category of Nedarim. It's important to point that out. That's what the Achronim point that out with Das Rava, that that's not even called a Yad. So that he wouldn't have an issue with this principle that Abaye is invoking over here. So the Gemara says, Akasha and Abaye, though, May Sive, we have another Akasha and Abaye based on another Braisa. If a person says, Hare, Reuben says, Hare Zu Chatas, with regards to an animal, that this is going to be, designate this as a Chatas. Hare Zu Ashem, or this is going to be an Ashem, Aval Pishu Chayav Chatas. And even though the guy was obligated in a Chatas or an Ashem, Lomar Klum, this statement is not going to be valid. This is not going to be salad, as the Ran points out. Lo amar klum she'ein chatas ban davet, because your implication of the lashon that you said seemed to imply that you're bringing it as a voluntary korban, which is not the case. You're not allowed to bring a voluntary korban as a chatas and asham. It only is brought if it is something which you are mechuyav in, and therefore, since they can come only as an actual specific kapara, that can be only not done if it's not, only done if it's not voluntary. If it's voluntary, that is going to be a problem. However, if you say, Harezu chatasi, that this is my chatas, Harezu ashami, or this is my asham, im hu hayam chuyav dvarav kayamim. If the person taka was obligated to bring a chatas or an asham, then a person makes that statement, it is going to be, it's going to be valid. So, l'chora, when a person brings the chatas and the statement that he said above of harezu ashab, harezu chatas, the Gemara is wondering, l'chora, at the very least, this should be considered a yad, yadayim sheina machichos, and therefore, the fact that we weren't sure to understand it, maybe he meant that he was volunteering it, that's only a shaila. According to Abaye, we should understand that this is a yadayim sheina machichos, and if the guy's chayav a chatas nasham pashut, it should be chal. And yet, this price, it tells us, it is not chal. So what is Abaye going to do with this price? Again, we can't just say Abaye says it's machlokas tanaim at this stage of the Gemara. The Gemara is assuming that we accepted the answer before, which we said Abaye is going to argue that everybody agrees to me. So this is what, again, the Gemara is asking to you, if the Abaye, this is going to be a kasha on Abaye, because again, Abaye said all tanaim agree with the Shita. Here we have a Tana seemingly against Abaye. So the Gemara now is forced to respond, Amar lecha Abaye, Hamani, who is the opinion of the Braisa? Rabbi Yehudi. In fact, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Just as Rabbi Yehuda requires a yadayim shein yadayim mochichos by get, as we saw before by a get, that machlokas that we had in the Mishnah and Ge'in, Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that it needs to be very clear. You need to write sefer de karisun and all the extra lashonos to make sure that it's very clear that it's a conclusive get. So therefore, in a case of nedarim, also he's going to hold like that. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, we just said, Abayu da'amar, anadamre, filu Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara suggested, bidas Abaye, that Abaye would want to argue that everybody is going to agree with his shita. Yet over here, you're saying that Abaye does not say that way. So the Gemara says, you're right. How dare Abaye, that Abaye, in fact, retracted that shita that he said, that Rabbi Yehuda always requires a yadayim mochichos, and therefore, that Rabbi Yehuda would say that you would not need yadayim mochichos in a darman, you would agree with me. He retracted on that opinion. And the Shita Mikvetz just points out, it wasn't really a bayah, the Gemara had suggested it, but that's a bayah, so really the Gemara, in its havamin of a bayah Shita, is now going back on what it said. A bayah never really was the one who said it. In the base medrash, they said it later, but that's a bayah, and then they ended up going back on that based on this kasha, this very strong kasha that we have here. So really, a bayah is going to understand it's a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Tanakama, and the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are going to say that Yadayim, according to Abaye, the Rabbanan are going to say that Yadayim She'ena Mechichah is valid even in the context of Nadarim, or not even, also in the context of Nadarim and Ge'in, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda says that it's not valid with regards to Nadarim. So Gemara says, Elalema Rava Damar Rabbi Yehuda. So then are we going to suggest that we said before that Rava is going to argue that he agrees with all Tanayim, and Abaye is going to say he holds like the Tanayim. So now once we fall off the idea that that Abaye is within all the Tanayim, are we going to suggest that Rava is also not within all the Tanayim? The Gemara says, no, we're going to keep Rava. Rava is going to argue that he thinks that all the Tanayim agree to his Shita. Amar lecha Rava, as Rava says, Ana damri afila the Rabbanan. I said my Shita even according to the Rabbanan. Ad kal nalaka Rabbanan delo menedai mechichos. This, that far that the Rabbanan are going to go to say that we don't require a parsha neder as elagabe get. That case is only with regards to a get. That case is a specific kula of the Rabbanan. As we said earlier, this exact sfarah, the inadam megarish es eishes chaver. Everybody knows, Reuven knows that he's divorcing his wife Sarah. He knows that he's not divorcing Leah or somebody else's wife. So therefore, that itself is mulchiach that he's divorcing her. And that's why the Rabbanan don't need, in that case, that's why they argue in Rabbi Yehuda with regards to getin, that they don't need it to be clear as day, meaning you don't have to write all the lashonos that Rabbi Yehuda requires. That's why the Rabbanan disagree, because with regards to get, everybody knows that Reuven is divorcing Sarah. There's nobody else in the picture over here. But with regards to nedarim and other halachas and shas, we are going to require you to say that a yad needs to be conclusive, and therefore everybody would agree with regards to nedarim, as my shita states, that it needs to be conclusive what you're going to say. Okay, turning on to the next Talmud. The Gemara now asks, Bayer of Papa. So Rav Papa asks, Yesh yad lekedushin or lo? Is there going to be, now we discussed already that yad applies to different contexts. We extended yad potentially, to get in. And so the question was, now with regards to kedushin, to giving the woman, to make the woman miskadeshes, to make her the stage of erisin, that is that going to be valid or not? Is that a method of going, is that a way that's going to be a valid way of marrying her? So now the question, just to point out that there's always two stages, we always mention this when there's regards to kedushin, that there's two stages of the marriage. There's the erisin is giving the wife a shavet pruta, saying harayat mekudeshet li and giving her the ring. That's what we do. There's three ways. That's the first mishnah in kedushin. The isha mekudeshet bekeshet veshtar bebiya, give her money, the value of money, a shtar document. The document is not like the ksuba document, but a full fledged document. It has to be the way that we read a kosher get, and also bia through having relations with her. That is the way that she could do the first stage of erisin. The first stage of erisin is only a partial marriage. The full marriage, the consummation of the marriage, is bringing her into your house or bringing into Yichud Arai Labiyah, as the Rambam understands it, and that is going to be Nisuin. So we're discussing the first stage of marriage. How do you affect the first stage of marriage? Can you do it through a Yad or not? So our Papa is wondering, at the end of the day, that when it comes to Areyat Mekudeshetli, if you did, that's Pashut that you'd be married to her. So we're asking, what about a partial declaration? So this is, there is no, the Ran points out to what exactly would be the Havamina that Yados would work for Kedushin. So the Ran says it must be that we learn it through a Mamatzinu. Mamatzinu is like, we see, we're gonna make an analogy from one case to another. We're comparing the other cases, that just like a Neder can be affected through a Yad, so too Kedushin can be affected through Yad. So that would be the way that we would explain it. On the other hand, why would it not work? Because only with regards to Nedarim is more Machmir than Kedushin, because when it comes to a Neder, just the fact that I announce something, my oral declaration, is going to be enough. Whereas when it comes to Kedushin, Kedushin requires a maisa attached to it. Right? We just said, a woman, you have to give her the ring. You have to give her the money. You have to give her a shtar, or you have to actually do the maisa of having relations with her to affect erisin. So since it requires a maisa along with that, so then maybe we can understand that that a yad is not going to be valid. It's not going to be valid with her because it requires something on a higher level than a neder, and therefore it's something which requires a higher level of das. Maybe that's not inconclusive, a das, with regards to the yad. So the Gemara says, hey chidami. So what exactly was Rav Papa's question? You're going to tell me it's a case where one says to a woman, I'm going to marry you. And he says to her friend who's standing there, so Reuven was in front of Sarah, he says to Sarah, and gives her a shavar pruta. Then next to Sarah was Rachel, not related, there's random Rachel in the street, and he says also, I'm going to marry Vatnami, I'm also, and you too. And clearly you too, he gives her a value of a shavar pruta as well. So then the Gemara says, Pshita, that's not even called a yad, because Haina Kedushin, that's one, that's full-fledged Kedushin, that's a full declaration, that's not even a partial one. Because you too obviously meant that I'm marrying you, and therefore giving you the shavar pruta is not the shayla of a yad. The shayla of a yad is only, according to the Ran, when you're leaving open the possibility, then it could be understood that something other than Kedushin is going on over here. It's important to note, the Ran's going to say this later, that the main difference over here with regards to a yad with their Kedushin as opposed to Nadarim is that a yad with regards to Nadarim is just a partial statement. That's how we learn is a yad. Then we get into yadayim shen mechichos. Now, when it comes to a yad and Kedushin, it's clear from the Gemara that it's something just leaves the possibility of being vague. It could be a full statement, but it's vague statement. So that statement is considered a yad because we're not fully 100% sure what you meant. So therefore, it's 100% what you meant. So that is not going to be considered a yad. Ela kegon damar la laisha, as opposed to maybe. It must be the case where someone, this is the case, where one says to a woman, Harayat Mekudeshali, you are going to be married to me. And he says to the wife, or the other woman, to Rachel in our example, that you also, not you also, rather, that, and you. And also, so here the case, the Rishonim point out, the Ran understands, that he gave two prutas only to the first woman. He gave two prutas to Sarah, and he assumed that maybe, that Sarah is going to then give the latter pruta to Rachel. And she's going to be acting, that's the shayla in the achrodim, what type of lam, what's going on? Is she a shaliach? Do you have to indicate consent? How exactly is Sarah giving it over? Do you have to actually appoint her? That's a shayla. But at the end of the day, what's clear is that it wasn't 100% clear, it wasn't 100% mochiach, it wasn't 100% sure based on the case that he was intending on marrying Rachel. Because maybe at the end of the day we could say that he was planning on just marrying he was planning on marrying Sarah, and he was just saying to Rachel, hey, maybe consider the option of marrying me. So that's the shayla, because that's what Gemara is going to flesh out. You too, like we have in the first case, and that's clearly what he meant, and then she should be, and it would affect the marriage. That would be a yad, and it's a partial declaration, it would be effective. Or we can say the following. And you consider the possibility of getting married to me, as we just mentioned. That's what it means. And it doesn't mean that you're marrying her, and therefore the Kedushin would not be valid. The Kedushin would not be valid through this yad, because, as we mentioned, that is something can be interpreted as you consider the possibility of marriage, as opposed to you fully being married to me. And since it's something which leaves open the possibility that that's not what he meant, maybe Kedushin requires a full level, a full-fledged das, a gilui das of what you meant. And since it's not conclusive, it's not going to be effective. And therefore, that's the shaila of Rav Papa, as we pointed out, that based on the Ran, that there's a difference between what a yad means in Kedushin and in Nedarim. When it comes to Kedushin, it's just simply the clarity of what you're saying. It doesn't really matter how much the Nusach, as opposed to yad in Nedarim, as we mentioned a lot of times, the yad in Nedarim is going to be something which is definitely a partial statement, but it could be 100% what you meant. Then we got into Yadayim She'ena Mechichah, it's not 100% what you meant, what's the din? But when it comes to 100% what you meant, that's, everybody agrees, that's the classic example of a yad. So that's going to be the difference between the two. So the question is, why? Why are we making a difference between the two? So the Achronim point out that with regards to Nedarim and the Shavuos, the Pasuk says, Levate Bisfasayim, that you are saying it out, you're saying over what you said. So that means that by my oral declaration alone, I'm able to accomplish something. Even if the person decides in his heart, he wants to do something, that's Dvarim Shebelev, Dvarim Shebelev, Enam Dvarim. That doesn't help by Neder. So therefore, it means nothing. You have to explicitly say what you're saying with your mouth. You have to make an oral declaration. As opposed to Kiddushin, it's really, the Maisa is the Iker. Giving the woman the Shavet Pruta is going to be enough. Meaning the Chronenberger Raya from the case that if a man is Osukim Be'uso Inyan, they were talking in marriage and then he gives her a Shavar Pruta. That's valid Kedushin. He didn't even say the Nusach of Ariyat Mekudesh Ali, because we see that the Maisa of giving over the Pruta is the Iker. So therefore, any statement that's leaving over No doubt of what you meant. That's clearly going to be a full kiddushin. That's not a yad at all. That's not considered a yad. It's only when something is ambiguous, that's when we leave the shayla of a yad. And that's the distinction why kiddushin is fundamentally different in regards to how the halachas of nadarim to kiddushin is going to be different. That's the point that the Achronim point out over here. So now the Gemara says, that was the shayla of Rav Papa. So Gemara says, "Mi b'ayla Rav Papa." Now the Gemara interrupts this. Whether Rav Papa even had a shayla about this, because v'hamid Gemara le Rav Papa labaye. Rav Papa asked Abaye, "Mi suffer Shmuel yadayim she'ina mochichus haven yadayim?" Does Shmuel even hold that partial yadayim with regards to kedushin are going to be valid? Rav Papa is quoted in Maseches Kedushin Daf Hayam Rebeis. There, the Gemara is talking about a case of Shmuel showing that lechora yadayim she'ina mochichus are going to be effective for kedushin. Rav Papa asked the question, quoting the din of Nazirus, which indicates that that Shmuel did not hold yadayim she'ina mochichus are valid. So the Gemara says, "Michlal desfila Rav Papa the yesh had kedushin," meaning Rav Papa seemed to be only bothered by the case of yad she'ina mochichus, the case of whether something which was inconclusive is going to be valid. But the idea of Yados working for Kedushin implied by that Gemara over there, that Rav Papa would have no problem with that understanding, that Shmuel would hold it, it's okay. So the Gemara says, no, Chada migoy mai desir le Shmuel amr le abaye. He was bothered by the contradiction. Rav Papa himself is lechora. He has a shaila whether or not yados are going to be effective for kedushin. However, when it comes to Shmuel, he was bothered by a stira in what Shmuel said. That in one case Shmuel seemed to say yados are effective, so he should not. If yadav sheina mechichos is not effective, so then with regards to kedushin, he should hold they're not effective either. As opposed to, meaning nazir, he said, seemed to imply clearly that they're not effective. So why by kedushin was it effective? So that's the shayla of Rapapa, is just dealing with the stira. So the Gemara doesn't give an answer to Rapapa's shayla. He leaves this as a suffix. So that would be the din. The Ran has a question though. The Ran says, why was Rav Papa even a suffix at this at all? When it comes to Kedushin, why should it be a Shaila? With regards to Gin, which is seemingly the same type of Shaila as Kedushin, we see that everybody agrees that Yadayim, a Yad works. The only Shaila was how much does the Yad have to work, but everybody agrees that it works. So why should there be a difference between Kedushin and Gin? So the Ran answers though, no, that when it comes to Get, there's a Maisa that's Mechiach, what you're doing. Giving over the document is clearly showing what you've done. That's going to be a conclusive action. And therefore, yad is going to work. Rav Papa's case, the partial declaration was not accompanied necessarily by an act because he gave two prutas to one woman. That's the whole point why the run comes down to the two prutas to one woman, is to show you that we don't know exactly. His mice is not mochiach anim either. If he gave over another pruta and he just said va'at, everybody agrees that would work to Rachel because it's clear what he meant, that he wants to marry her by giving over the pruta. So therefore, in our case where there's a lack of a mice and a lack of a clarity in what he said, that is the suffix of Rav Papa. Okay, now the Gemara continues to another question of Rav Papa. By Rav Papa. Rav Papa wondered, Yesh liad lepeya. Is there going to be a partial declaration for the regards to halachas of peya? Oh, in line lepeya. We know peya is giving the corner of your field to the poor people. You have to give it. It's one of the matnas in him. So Rav Papa was wondering, do we assume that if there is really no validity to a yad for kedushin, so maybe because there's nothing comparing them, maybe with regards to peya, there would be a yad for peya. So the Gemara says, hey, what's the case of Rav Papa was wondering? Ilema da amar, if you're going to say that it's where the guy says, hadein ugdil ave peya, that this patch, meaning they used to plant in patches, that was common to plant in different patches, so this patch is going to be peya, hadein nami, and this also. So the Gemara says, "How a peya me'alasi?" There's no shayla there. Again, this is clear, explicitly telling you that the second one you want to be peya. So that can't be the shayla of a yad. So the question of Rav Papa was the following: "Go into Amar ve'adin," and this one v'lo Amar nami, didn't say this one too. My, so this is again inconclusive. It's a partial declaration. It's possible to understand, and this one I want to keep for myself. Whatever you're going to say after that, this one, then it could be understood as different things. So therefore, we don't know what he meant, and that's why it's considered a yad here also when it's inconclusive. So Gemara says, "Michlal dechi Amar said kula tave peya." That if a person is implying that his whole area of his field of his peya have a peya, that would be a valid peya. So if Papa is the chora talking about a case where the first patch had a shear of peya, and because if it had less than that, then it's obvious when you say in this one that you want it to have peya, because if you don't give the minimum shear, it's clear that the second one is going to be chal, and there's no yad either. That's conclusive that that's what you meant. So the shayla must be where the first patch had a shear of peya, and now you want to give the second patch a full level of peya. So if that's the case, we're assuming that you can make the whole area peya. So the Gemara says, that's correct. Vatana, sometimes Vatana is most times Hatana is a kasha. Here's Haretana. No, behold, we learn, meaning it's a proof that Minayan Shem Rotza allows us closer to peya. We're bringing a brisa which says that if a person wants to make his entire field peya, where Kalayun that he has the right to do so, Talmud Loimar Peas Sadcha. The pasuk says, Lo Sechale Peas Sadcha Liktor, which is understood that you should not destroy the edge of your fields. However, the pasuk could have said, Peas Shibbe Sadcha, the edge within your field. So the fact that it says Peas sadcha, which is understood the edge of your field, that alludes to the fact that the entire field is able to become peah. So the Gemara clarifies this point. The Gemara now goes back. Mia mina and kevin iskish karbanas, that we see that peah is compared to karbanas, as we're going to see in the Hamshech. So we can learn out ma karbanas der shem. Yeah, we know that when the guards to embarrass a partial neder to bring a korban, it's going to be valid. So too af peah yesh layad, that so too peah is going to partial declaration is going to be valid. Oh, dilma ki iskish, when the two are compared, l'chol l'bal ta'achar de iskish, only with regards to delaying payah, just like we're going to delaying matnas aniyim, is similar to delaying korban, which is going to be an iser deraisa. V'heichi iskish, now the Gemara asks, where do we see the payah is compared to korbanos? This sounded with the following braisa. The pasuk that we're focusing on is, ki sidor neder l'ashem, elokecha, lo sa'acher l'shalmo, ki deresh d'oshinam elokecha mimach, v'ya b'chachit. So this braisa is the shaila that we're dealing with. Turning on to the next summon in Zayin Amin Aleph, the pasuk says, mi'imach, mi'imach. So we see zed leket shechcha peah. This alludes to leket shechcha peah. So we leket, right, is the things that fell off, and the shechcha is the things that forget. And peah, those things, we're learning mi'imach, because the pasuk says, es ha'ani mi'imach. So we see that imach is a reference to gifts to the poor. So the owner did not leave these proper things to the poor. He took them for himself. He's required to return them to the poor people without delaying it. If you delay, you're violating an extra Eser Dereis of Baal Ta'acher. Since this pasuk is telling us about Peah, and it's dealing with Nedarim, not being Ma'acher, your Neder, so Lechora, we can make a Hekesh also for the halachas of whether a Yad is worked. Or maybe this Hekesh was only for this halacha, not for anything else. This question is also left unanswered. Okay, we're going to pick up with Yesh Latztaka, Yesh Latztaka, Be'ezos Hashem, in tomorrow's Daf.